To those of you who have come to realize that all of the world's political, religious, military, economic, and media institutions are corrupt, rotten to the core, that they have all become counterproductive and none of them can be fixed. They are not worth your allegiance. Our phone number, if you would like to participate in this discussion, which will begin with my good friend, IQ Al-Rasuli, and discussions about the myths regarding Islam, is toll-free 877-300-7645. IQ, welcome back from vacation.
Thank you. Thank you for having me back.
Oh, my pleasure. You know, we were going to start with the Obaminator and his speech to the United Nations, which was nothing but a string of egregious lies. But I think that was the voice of a man that I think is actually dumber, more egregious than Obamination. I think that the voice we heard on the news leading into the program was the Prime Minister of the United Kingdom, Cameron. And I think he said that if Afghanistan has a unity government, which it does not have and will never have, if the Afghan security forces are well-trained, which they are not, never have been, and never will be, and if Britain and its allies, read the United States, remain, then Afghanistan will not become a haven for terrorists, which was the reason that Britain went there in the first place. That's got to be amongst the most ignorant statements. It's laughable, except for the fact of all the people that have died.
It's not just laughable, it's dangerous.
Of course, murderous.
All of them are literally, Cameron, Obama, mm-hmm. Sarkozy, Hollande or France at the moment.
Right.
They have no clue. They haven't learned a single iota of anything in the last 45 years.
No.
Nothing.
No, I mean, first of all, we don't have a unity government in Kandahar. In fact, it's really only a city-state. I mean, that's the only part of Afghanistan that is not under the control of the Taliban, again, is the city-state of Kandahar. The Kandahar province, excuse me, Kabul. The rest of the country is already a haven for the Taliban, fundamental Islamic terrorists. So first of all, it's completely naive. Second of all, the last election, they had somewhere between 30% and 50% voter fraud. It's not a unity government. It's just the United States bribed these two guys to share power for a whole lot of money. How is that a unity government? And every time the Afghan security forces have been tested, they've been every bit as effective as the army that we built in Iraq. And you know how good that's been.
Oh, yeah, fantastic. They ran away with their pants down.
Oh, of course. How could you, after 13 years of having your pants down, of having your behind kicked by fundamentalist Muslims and doing nothing productive, and a suicidal mission where everything you have done has been counterproductive, after 13 years and all of the deaths, all of the squandered lives and money, how in the world could anybody make a statement like that and not be laughed out of an elected chamber?
But the tragedy is they are not laughed out.
I know, that is the biggest tragedy.
The leaders who are running the show, it's the, like in a mental asylum.
Yes.
The people in the asylum running the show, not the doctors.
Correct. Yeah, I have long said, and this is a kind of a place that we've had some contention, minor contention from time to time, is that while Obama and Cameron are absolute idiots, while they are grotesquely immoral, disingenuous, complete and total hypocrites, murderous, and counterproductive leaders, that if you want to pin blame for the mess the world is in relative to Islam, it's not their fault. It's the fault of the idiots that elected them.
Thank you. That's what I've been telling to Americans the last 4 years. The first mistake is not, I would say the first 4 years when they elected him, they thought he's the Messiah. Fine.
Yeah.
Okay, they made a mistake. But to repeat the same mistake 4 years later, my God, this is stupidity.
Well, the same thing was true with George W. Bush. I mean, somehow somebody thought that there was going to be compassionate conservatism. The guy turned out to be nothing but a liar and warmonger and a complete and total imbecile. And they reelected him, too. It doesn't matter. It's both sides of the aisle. The people electing officials in the United States can't think. They've lost their moral compass. That's why
the majority, they don't have a moral compass.
Yeah.
When you can't even allow God in your oath
to
the state, forget it. You've got nothing left.
Yeah, you've got nothing left. You know, one of the things that is it's so sad, and I spent most of the program yesterday talking about America allowing not only those sickened with Ebola into the United States, but having absolutely doctors and well-educated administrators being incapable of exercising good judgment. They cannot make a rational, moral decision. I blame it all on our educational process. Political correctness has rendered a generation of people incapable of exercising good judgment. They have no moral compass anymore. They are completely incapable of evaluating evidence and ascertaining what is valid. Can't do it.
By the way, even when they are capable, look, the military are capable, but they're not opening their mouth. The person who killed in Fort Hood, there wasn't a single general who said, it is unacceptable to call this workhouse,
workplace.
Workhouse violence or something.
Right. Yeah, not a single
guy is a terrorist. He was shouting Allahu Akbar while slaughtering them.
Right.
And same thing now with Oklahoma.
He's an Islamic terrorist.
They're dumbing it down that it has nothing to do with Islam. It has everything to do with Islam.
It has nothing to do with anything other than Islam.
Than Islam.
And the lies began right at the top, though, in the midst of his speech to the United Nations, where Obama is trying to reprise the tactic that he used immediately after the attack by Ansar Sharia against the compound in Benghazi. He wanted to blame the attack on extremists as opposed to Islam, so he blamed the attack on the Christian movie correctly depicting Muhammad's behavior. He went back to the United, and that was turned out to be a complete lie. As you know, Ansar Sharia perpetrated the attack. Ansar Sharia is a fundamentalist Islamic organization. In fact, Ansar Sharia means friends of Sharia law, correct?
Correct. Okay. Ansar means friends, supporters.
Right, supporters and friends. In fact, all of Islam is based upon the interaction between Muhammad and the Ansar. That's the Pledge of Aqaba took place with the supporters who pledged war against all humankind. Without the Ansar, the supporters of Islam and Muhammad, as Muhammad retreated from Mecca as a laughingstock following the satanic verses, without the friends, without the supporters, without the Ansar, Islam doesn't exist.
Correct. Yes.
So,
by the way, I don't know if you know, a few days ago or yesterday, the top-level imam in Israel made a speech in Arabic. Memri, M-E-M-R-I, the company which records everything.
Right, and translates
it. He called every human being who's not a Muslim infidel due to slaughter and death and destruction.
Yes. It's the nature of Islam.
But that's what it is.
Right, and here's the United States, France, and the U.K. all yesterday condemning Israel for building homes in their capital, Jerusalem. All condemning Israel, and not a single one of them condemning the Islamic leader, the Islamic cleric, for declaring that Muslims have a responsibility to savagely murder anyone who doesn't submit to Islam.
By the way, he mentioned whether they are Japanese, Chinese, Russian. I mean, he didn't speak only about Jews and Christians.
Right.
He called everybody. That's true. Because anybody who's not a Muslim is a kafir.
Yes.
Anybody who's not a Muslim is an infidel.
Right.
And as we said, Muhammad declared war 1400 years ago against all the human beings who are not Muslim. And the war continues.
Right.
And
but,
they
it's 24 hours
a day in every single mosque in 80 languages. And Obama and Cameron say, no. It's not easy to do with Islam.
Yeah. It's even worse than that. Because Well, the Pledge of Aqaba, which is day one of the Islamic era, where the Ansar, the supporters, pledged to wage war against all humankind on behalf of Muhammad, direct quote, from the Islamic hadith, from the supporters themselves, that 10 years later, Muhammad was holding them accountable to their declaration of war against all humankind, and the supporters got cold feet. They had terrorized every Jew and every Arab within camel ride of Medina, yesterday's Yathrib. And they were told that the only place left with someone to rob, to terrorize, was a Byzantine community. And they all got cold feet and said, we're not going up there. They actually have an army. We have never terrorized a community that actually has an army. We've never fought against an army. We're not going. And so Muhammad changed, made an amendment to his declaration of war against all humankind. And that is when he added peaceful Muslims to the list of people who were kafir and therefore deserving to die.
That's why there are no peaceful Muslims. If they are Muslims, they cannot be peaceful. It's that simple. It's not complicated.
No, according to the Quran, I mean, if you're going to determine whether or not it is possible to be a good Muslim and a good person, if it's possible to be a good Muslim following the Quran and example of Muhammad and be peaceful, all you have to do is read the ninth surah. The ninth surah says, absolutely not. If a Muslim is peaceful, they cease to be a Muslim, they become a hypocrite. It is the duty of the jihadist to hunt them down and kill them so that Allah can torture them in the hottest places in hell. You can't argue.
Do you mind if I quote some verses?
Please, please, yes.
Because otherwise people will not believe anything we say, really.
Yeah, please.
As you said, chapter 9, Al-Tawbah, verse 29. This is the total declaration against human beings, all of them. Listen to this. Fight, Qatilu. We'll go after the break. I don't mind.
Okay. We will continue with this with the foremost expert in the world on Islam. No one understands the religion better than IQ al-Rasuli. It is a distinct privilege to have him on this program, for you to have, and even for me to have, the opportunity to listen to this extraordinarily enlightened and courageous individual. We'll be back. We're back with IQ al-Rasuli. I'd like IQ to have the opportunity to read from the ninth surah. It is important for you to know that he is not cherry-picking the most violent verses out of the Quran. Any surah, 2 through 9, is identically violent, anti-world, if you will. Warmongering, inspiring terrorist acts. There is a difference, though, when you come to the ninth and the fifth, and that the rule of abrogation doesn't apply to them because they are the last two surahs chronologically revealed. So nothing can abrogate anything in the ninth or the fifth surah.
Thank you. Al-Tawbah 9.29. Fight, Qatilu. Qatilu means go to war. Those who believe not in Allah nor the last day, nor hold that forbidden which has been forbidden by Allah and His Apostle Muhammad, nor acknowledge the religion of truth, Islam, even if they are of the people of the book, that means Christians and Jews, until they pay the jizya. The jizya is an onerous tax for not being a Muslim. And the Christians and Jews have to pay the jizya with willing submission and feel themselves humiliated. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a total war. It's a declaration of war against all human beings who are not Muslim.
And don't think for a moment.
Those who are not Muslim of the people of the book, because they believe in a one God, Muhammad is giving them the grace of letting them live, but under submission and humiliation.
Yeah, in fact, I'm glad you summarized it that way, because I don't want people to think, because it's reported in the news all the time, that they're giving, that the Islamic State is giving the few Christians that are left in Iraq, which are almost zero now, that they're giving them the choice of paying a tax or converting to Islam. That is grossly inaccurate. The purpose of this statement and the activity that is perpetrated, the action that is perpetrated on non-Muslims is total humiliation. They lose all rights. They, a woman, for example, if she is young and even modestly attractive, she becomes a sex slave. The individuals have no rights to own any property. They have no rights to engage in owning a business. They have no rights as it relates to education. They have no rights to gather as a religious community, for example. They have no rights to speak to anybody about disagreeing with anything about Islam. They are treated vastly worse than Michael Vick treated his dogs.
And that's
this
fact,
is,
by the way.
Yeah, this is not about money.
That's what's happening. The tragedy is it's in front of our eyes.
Yes.
We see it on television. The Muslims are bragging about it. They are gloating all over the world on how they're chopping heads, how they're crucifying children. They're crucifying children.
Of course. Right. And this cutting off of heads, smiting them on their neck, is part of the Quran. The Quran orders Muslims to cut off heads.
Ah, yes. But that needs to be proven. And the way to prove it is Muhammad's chapter. We have to read that one.
Okay, go ahead.
It says, Muhammad 47, chapter 47, verse 4. Therefore, when ye Muslims meet the unbelievers, kuffar, infidels, chop off their necks. That's it. That's what it says. Not what I'm saying.
Right.
That
is right in the Quran.
What the Quran is saying.
So when the President of the United States to the United Nations said, speaking of terrorism, but in this century, we have faced a more lethal and ideological brand of terrorists who have perverted one of the world's great religions. Every part of the statement is false.
He's a liar. He's a pathological liar. He was always a liar. And it's remarkable that 37% of Americans still believe that he's a good president. 37%.
And that group of people, I mean, I'm not going to exonerate the 63% of Americans that recognize that he isn't worth the collective value of bull dung. But even that 37%, you just ought not vote. You ought not express your opinion. You are so completely lost as to deserve the fate of this country when Muslims destroy it. You deserve your own fate. We will speak more about the fact that rather than perverting a great religion, that Muslims are living the religion exactly as Muhammad envisioned it, as the Quran speaks of it, when we return. Considering the carnage being perpetrated by Muslims, particularly in Syria and Iraq, where everyone who is not a Muslim has been annihilated, and Muslims are killing Muslims by the tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, I would think that a speech to the United Nations where you differentiate between terrorism and Islam, as a matter of fact, you say that the terrorists have perverted a great religion, that there probably isn't a more dangerous lie than that. Can you think of a lie more dangerous than that one?
No, I can't think of it, but this is not just a lie.
Yes.
This is not only a deception.
Yeah.
This is on a global scale. It's not only for America. This is gigantic lie. This is obscene.
Yeah, it is.
Because unbelievers, ladies and gentlemen, when Muslims talk about unbelievers, let me explain to you. Unbelievers represent 80% of humanity today. All Christians, Buddhists, Hindus, Jews, atheists, agnostics, anyone who's not a Muslim. And on top of that, If they are Sunni Muslims, they exterminate the Shia Muslims.
Of course.
And if they are Shia Muslims, they exterminate the Sunni Muslims. So Islam is the enemy of every single human being on the planet.
Correct. That's just the reality of it. The president says, we have reaffirmed that the United States is not and never will be at war with Islam. Islam teaches peace.
Well, okay. I would have said to him, with all due respect, I would say, Obama, Al-Ma'idah 5.51 says the following. O ye who believe, Muslims, take not the Jews, Yahud, in Arabic, and the Christians, Nasara, in Arabic. Take not them for your friends and protectors. They are but friends and protectors to each other. And he amongst you that turns to them for friendship is of them. Ladies and gentlemen, the implication of the last sentence is of immense importance. And he amongst you Muslims that turns to them, the Jews and the Christians, for friendship is of them, means that any followers of Muhammad who befriend or are under the rule of Christians or Jews or any non-Muslim group would be considered apostate to Islam, outsiders to Islam, enemies of Islam, who must be slaughtered. In a nutshell, no Muslim can ever be loyal to the American Constitution because it is not from Allah. Nor any of them can be loyal citizens in America or anywhere else, which is not Islamic, because the non-Muslim Americans are infidels, kuffar, unbelievers, kafirun. And anybody listening who wants to disagree with me or with Yada, please, you have the number. It is free of charge. Come.
Yeah, come.
And talk to
by the way, when the United States invaded Afghanistan and went to war against the Taliban, was the Taliban Islamic?
100%.
So the United States was at war with Islam when it attacked the Taliban.
Absolutely.
When America invaded Iraq, Saddam Hussein's armies never fought, ever. There wasn't a single battle in Iraq against Saddam Hussein's army. So all of the carnage that America perpetrated in Iraq, was it against Christians?
In a way,
was it against, well, yeah, it was in a way, yes. Indirectly.
Because the byproduct was exactly
yeah,
that.
It's true. It's true. The Christians ended up being annihilated because of the United States intervention. But the Christians never fought the Americans. 100% of the battles fought in the invasion of Iraq were against Sunni and Shia Muslims. The whole battle, the whole thing was against Islam. When America bombs the Islamic State, is America at war with Islam?
100% at war with Islam.
Of course.
The same thing in Libya. Who did they kill?
Muslims.
They were not Hindus. They were not Buddhists. They were not Christians. They were not Jews. They were Muslims.
No. Of course. When America uses its drones to go and kill selected targets in Yemen and in Pakistan and in Somalia. Have Americans killed anyone other than Islamic preachers?
No.
No?
Only Muslims.
Only Muslims. And good Muslims. In fact, the targeting process requires the victim to be a Muslim. If they're not a Muslim, they're not going to be targeted.
Yeah, to be perfect Muslim. Not just a Muslim, but a perfect
right.
Muslim.
Yes. So to say that, right, first of all, Al-Qaeda doesn't even exist anymore. It was always a grossly over-exaggerated in terms of its importance. And now it's one lonely guy that nobody listens to. But was Al-Qaeda, when it actually was quasi-relevant, did it have its own ideology?
The only ideology it had the Quran.
Correct. Yeah.
That's all it had. That's all that Muslims have. That's
correct.
All that Boko Haram says it has. That's all that Al-Shabaab say they have. They have the Quran. And yet, you have Obama standing in front of the United Nations telling 7 to 8,000 million people the biggest lie ever.
Can you tell me where in the Quran or Hadith, where anywhere in the Quran and Hadith that Islam teaches, first of all, and second, peace. Where is their teaching? Where is their teaching in the Quran? Where does the Quran teach somebody anything that is moral, accurate, enlightening? I don't think there's a single statement in the Quran where the Quran teaches anything. But second of all, if there is a teaching, is there ever a teaching of peace in the Quran? I mean, the entire Quran. Can you tell me where it teaches peace? That's what the abominator said.
Well, Yada, you know very well I have over $100,000 to every human being listening. If they can show us all one single operative verse in Muhammad's Quran, one single verse that shows any compassion and mercy towards unbelievers, infidels, 80% of humanity. $100,000 I will pay it.
Yes. But I'm safe. There is no peace in Islam. The only verse that Muslims can, there's two actually, verses that Muhammad, that non-Muslims can quote, or Muslims, to deceive the rest of the world into believing that Islam is peaceful. One is Quran 5:32, which is plagiarized from the Babylonian Talmud, which says if you kill one individual, it's as if you killed all of humanity. And the second is there should be no compulsion in religion. But the fact of the matter is that the line from the Quran isn't Muhammad's. It's from the Talmud. And second of all, the next verse is the most ruthless, violent, miserable, immoral verse ever stated in any religious text. Quran 5:33. In fact, you have your Quran there. Would you mind sharing with people what the Quran has to say about not just peace, but pieces, like as in cutting people into pieces? Quran 5:33.
The punishment of those who wage war against Allah and His Messenger, that is Muhammad, and strive with might and main for mischief through the land is execution or crucifixion or the cutting of hands and feet from opposite sides or exile from the land. That's the next verse after the verse you talked. By the way, every imam, with all due respect, and I had an imam I was talking to on Wednesday, he quoted exactly the same verse you talked about, which says that if anyone slew a person, unless it is be for murder or mischief in the land, it is as if he slew the whole world or the whole people. And if anyone saved a life, it would be as if he saved the whole life of the whole people. The imam quoted this, but he lied. Why? Because the beginning of the verse says, we ordained upon the children of Israel.
Right.
It has nothing to do with Islam.
Right.
It has nothing to do with Muhammad. It has nothing to do with the Arabs.
Right. It's funny, too. Because what they don't want to tell you is that not only is that line a condemnation of Jews, it's what it says is, if a Jew kills a single person, it's as if they killed all of humanity.
Correct.
And it has nothing to do with Muslims. But beyond that, the line, as is a huge portion of the Quran, I mean enormous swaths of the Quran, are citations, bastardized citations, mind you, of the Babylonian Talmud.
Correct.
You know, what most Muslims don't recognize is that written Arabic is Hebrew. And they don't recognize that the Arabic alphabet is the Hebrew alphabet. What they don't know is that every important word in the Quran, including Quran, is Hebrew. It's from the Hebrew verb kara, and kara means to read, to recite, to invite, to summon, to welcome, and to greet, as well as to call out. It's a Hebrew verb. Every concept in the Quran is Hebrew because Muhammad was illiterate and he bought almost all of his Quran recitals from the rabbis in Yathrib. And then when they demanded that he pay them for them as he had promised to do, and helped them when he didn't, and they said, well, we're going to expose you. You're a fraud. You're not getting this from Allah. We're reading this to you, and you're claiming it's inspiration to have them killed. The basis of Islam.
You can't have witnesses.
That's
just
right.
Like not in the mafia. Just right. Exactly like in the mafia. You can't have witnesses. That's why he massacred the Jews. Then he massacred the Christians. Then he massacred his own tribe because they said he was a charlatan. And they knew he was a charlatan.
So let's go to the other one where it says there should be no compulsion in religion. Doesn't the Quran say that if a Muslim rejects their religion, kill them?
Of course. But something else it says, at Tawbah.
But by the way, with knowing that you're going to be murdered by fellow Muslims for rejecting Islam, would you consider that compulsion?
Yes. By any means of any logic, it is compulsion.
That and wouldn't telling someone that you either submit to Islam or we're going to rob you of all of your dignity and all of your property and wealth, wouldn't you consider that compulsion?
It is, but they are not robbing you of property, they're robbing you of your life.
And your dignity.
That's it.
Dr. Sharon is right. I mean, conversation with like 2 hours, solely the foremost expert in the world on the religion of Islam. I would like to reprise my question. Is there any place in the Quran that there is teaching that could enlighten anyone?
Zero. No one.
Okay.
Nothing.
Does the Quran ever speak of peace?
No, never. There's not even the word love in the whole of the Quran. There's no concept of love between Allah and his followers, nor between humans and other human beings.
And the only reference to peace in the Quran is when the entire world has surrendered to Allah, who was modeled after Satan, and to Muhammad, who was the most perverted man who ever lived.
Correct. By the way, when we were discussing, there is no compulsion in religion. And Imran 3.85, if anyone desires a religion other than Islam, submission to Allah, never will it be accepted of him. End of conversation.
Yeah. So all we have shown by a person that would quote that line, there should be no compulsion in religion, is that the Quran contradicts that same statement multiple times, and that a book that contradicts itself is not worthy of anyone's allegiance. IQ, we have Jim who's called in from Arizona and has a question for you. Go ahead, Jim.
Hi, IQ. I have a question about Allah Akbar specifically. I'm trying to get a little empathetic understanding. What are the emotions, the feelings, the thoughts when an Islamist shouts that or yells that when they're beheading someone? I've seen a number of the videos. I'm just trying to understand the mindset. Hello.
It's very simple.
Yes.
The mindset is very simple. When they shout Allahu Akbar, it's got two reasons. It is mandated that when they slaughter an animal, to make it halal, means worthy of eating it, they have to recite Allahu Akbar. So when they butcher a human being for the sake of their God, Allah, they do exactly the same thing. Allahu Akbar is called the terror verse. In Islam, it is called the terror verse. And you will find the Muslims shouting Allahu Akbar maybe 500, 600 times a day. When they're shooting bullets, when they're murdering somebody, when they're killing somebody, when they're raping somebody, Allahu Akbar. All it means, Allah is bigger.
Yeah. Bukhari, Volume 5, Book 59, Number 512. The Prophet offered the Fajr prayer, the prayer of fear, near Kabar, when it was still dark. He said, Allahu Akbar. Kabar is destroyed, for whenever we approach a hostile nation to fight, it was no nation, it was a farming community, then evil will be the mourning for those who have been warned. Then the inhabitants came out on their roads. The Prophet had their men killed. Their children and women were taken captives. The next verse, the Prophet said, I have been given the keys of eloquent speech and have been given victory with terror.
Perhaps if I could
the next statement is, Kabar was stormed by the Apostle Squadron, fully armed, powerful, and strong. It brought certain humiliation with Muslim men in its midst. We attacked, and they met their doom. Muhammad conquered the Jews in fighting that day, as they opened their eyes to our dust. That's when Allahu Akbar was first stated and mandated by Muhammad upon Muslims.
To re-ask the question, if Christians think of God as a benefactor, a contingent benefactor, and if those that know Yahweh think of him as a father, a nurturing father, do Muslims think of Allah as what? A menacing older brother? What drives it? What holds it together? I mean, what really motivates internally?
What's the view of a Muslim of Allah? Because the Quran says he's unknowable.
That is exactly my question. What is the view of a Muslim of Allah?
Quran says he's unknowable, that he's unlovable, that he's fearsome, that he's a terrorist. So, IQ, what is a Muslim's impression of Allah?
Simple. They deceive humanity by saying that Allah is the same as the God of Abraham, the God of Jesus, and the God of Moses. Allah is most definitely not God, and most certainly not the same as the God of Jesus, Moses, and Abraham. Can I prove this in 30 different ways in less than 60 seconds each way? Why? We just proved it again and again. No God worthy of being called God contradicts himself 71% of all the verses of the Quran.
Yeah, but the direct answer to your question is, to a Muslim, Allah is to be feared. Allah is unknowable. Allah is unlovable. Allah does not have a father impression. Allah is just a mean terrorist God who lurks in hell and torments everyone there.